All right, we're recording, Shannon.
All right, so I will call this meeting to order of CCI at 5:32 p.m. If we can go around and say who we are. I'm Shannon Knight, I'm the current chair.
Vicki Olson, vice chair.
Ed Schwarz, Neighborhood Association Representative.
Gary Wolvatny, Planning Commission Representative.
And Darren Wise, Staff Liaison.
I do not see any public here. So we'll move on to approval of the meeting notes. Did not have a chance to review them. They're pretty old, so did we not have a quorum or something last time?
Oh, maybe that's why. I was wondering the same thing as to why they were so old. The only thing that I noticed was the August 24th meeting, and the member of the public was Teresa Cummings, which I assume is Terry Cummings. I just hadn't seen her referred to as Teresa, so.
I think that's technically her name because I've seen that other stuff.
Okay.
And I got the same thing. I was like, is that Terry?
Well, I had a question on the August 24th notes. And I forgot I did this, but I had a question about the IT representative because we were having issues. Did that all get resolved? It was like meetings weren't being posted or something.
I think the question we had was, why did people have to sign up before noon on the day of the meeting in order to attend the meeting? We were hoping people could just come when the meeting had started and click to attend the meeting and provide public comment. So I think that was the concern. We wanted to ask the IT people if why that was a requirement that they sign up before noon.
So did that ever get addressed? I don't remember it.
Not that.
Well, they've changed it to 4 now. You have to sign up by 4. It's better than noon. I think it's because the way WebEx works is that they have to send them a link. So I think if you had to, last minute, they could. You would just have to wait till you got a link back to be able to log in. So it might be a little delay there, but I think that they're trying their best, which is all we can really ask.
Okay, so it went from noon to 4, so that's better.
Mm-hmm. All right, so otherwise, anyone want to make a motion to approve this?
I second the motion.
Oh, I didn't make the motion. I need someone to make the motion.
I make the motion to accept the minutes for July 27th, August 24th, 2001, November 23rd, 2021, sorry.
I'll second.
Right, so it's been moved and seconded, and you want to take the roll?
Yes, Mr. Schwarz.
Aye.
Ms. Olson.
Aye.
Mr. Watney.
Yes.
And Chair Knight.
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 4-0. Thank you.
Yep. And since we didn't meet the first 2 months because of some we have new staff, by the way, in case you didn't notice. Betty is no longer with us. So we have Darren here until we someone else. Or Darren will continue. I don't know what the plan is, but we have Darren right now. So we didn't meet, and so we have to do elections because it's the beginning of the year. So open to what everybody wants. Anybody else wants to take chair, I'm happy to let it go, and I'm happy to continue. So whatever you guys want to do.
Unless we wait until we have more members of the CCI, I will nominate Shannon as chair.
We can wait too if you want to wait until next month. I don't think
I'm not sure it would change my nomination, but I've just unless Vicky wants to do this.
Oh, I can't right now. I can help. I can help Shannon.
You want to stay on as vice chair?
I'll stay, yeah. I don't do much, but I'm there. I'll do it.
Shannon, did you want to have nominations for both offices at once, or do you want to do one at a time?
You could do, unless someone else wants to be vice chair too.
I'll nominate Vicky as vice chair.
I'll second that motion.
And I guess I'll second Gary's nomination of Shannon as chair.
All right, I guess we got nominations for myself as chair and Vicky for vice chair. So you can call the vote.
All right, Mr. Swartz.
Aye.
Ms. Olson.
Aye.
Mr. Blavatny.
Yes.
And Ms. Knight.
Yes.
All right, motion carries 4-0.
All right, so moving right along. So I had submitted testimony to council ahead of their goal session, kind of letting them know, because in our goal, if you remember when we did our goals at the end of the year, we did talk about, you know, getting some clarity on what our role is, so we kind of understand what we are supposed to be working on. And so I had sent some stuff to council to kind of clarify that. I did it, you know, not as chair of CCI as an individual, but just so that they had a little bit of clarity on that. And so in that discussion in goal setting, council did kind of say they wanted to hear our plan. So we still kind of weren't sure what we were talking about. So before we have a joint meeting with council to kind of discuss this kind of stuff, figured we should go through and really figure out as a group, you know, I don't want to be waiting everyone into what I want or what I think. So we should have a full discussion on the CCI roles and responsibilities. You know, we are here because of goal one, but is goal one the only thing we are supposed to be doing, or are we open to doing a little bit more work? Just if I look at, well, I did even more research. So if I look at some of the other cities, you know, as I mentioned before, they focus more on, they do the goal one stuff, but they also do other policy issues, so stuff with the streets and parks and all that kind of stuff too, that the public should be and might have an interest in. And then I also went back and they hired, the Westland hired a John Morgan to give the city an update or basically explain what CCI should be, and that's when they kind of re-evolved the CCI into not being the planning commission and creating an official CCI. So I looked at that presentation, you know, and he did the same thing, that cities are set up differently. Some are, you know, use a planning commission because they only meet to discuss once a year, once or twice a year, these big planning things, and other ones meet more often to look at other stuff. So so the way I look at it is citizens don't have time to really attend all the CAG meetings and know what's going on. And not just outside of land use, but other things. Like I was listening to the Parks and Rec meeting, and Parks is about to find another place to do a dog park. And while I'm very thrilled about that, because I would love another dog park, that might be something that should have some more public input than just in the park, and how much public input they have in there. So I was thinking of those type of things, like if we knew other stuff that was going on, we could then say, these are the type of things that we think need more public involvement.
I have a question on this document too. What is resolution number 2020-04? Because that kind of, doesn't that?
Oh, those are our bylaws.
Yes.
Basically, for this organization.
Because it does, doesn't it give us more responsibility?
Yeah, I think our bylaws are broader than just planning.
Yeah.
But it's interpretation.
Because that's how I read it too. It was broader than just goal one.
Yeah, Ed.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, Shannon. I think when you read the text from 2020-04 attachment A, where it talks about the purpose of CCI, it does talk about goal one, obviously, as one of the three items that they call out. But the other two items are just evaluates the citizen involvement process and makes recommendations to the city council to improve the citizen involvement process. So to me, that does broaden the purpose of CCI beyond just goal one and planning. So I don't think there's any, in my mind, there's no question that that was the intent of the council when that resolution was passed.
Okay, so Darren, maybe you wanna give your input too.
Yeah. So goal one is specific to Oregon land use planning goals, statewide planning goals. So yeah, again, if I think getting direction from council through a joint meeting, which I believe is trying to be scheduled, would provide clarity on what exactly the this sitting city council would like the CCI to spend their time focusing on.
Yeah, because I know we've had some stuff come up just in the last year that you know, where we wanted to kind of talk about things like the Bill 5 work, and then the roundabouts and stuff like that. And those are those kind of gray areas, like, is that what we should be working on? Or, you know, if they're not technically goal one stuff. So that's why I feel like, you know, having a little bit broader scope would allow us to take on these things that these citizens can help us with, and being a little more open to figuring out how to ensure the public knows about these things and has a chance to be involved. So then I think it just becomes, if everyone is in agreement on that, then I think it just becomes, you know, what we want to take to council. Like if we want to look at some of these other cities and look at how they, some of them are, I mean, Beaverton gives CCI, their CCI, a lot of power. I don't know if we want to go that far, but Beaverton CCI is actually able to tell the other CAGs what to do. So that was kind of interesting. not staff necessarily, but you know, if they know that they want a word to get out on something that the AG is working on, then they tell that to you that they need to do the public input. So I can send you the, go ahead.
Well, like Gary has his hand up and I think Terry does too. Oh. Do you see those?
Little
hands.
I don't see the little hands anywhere, but go ahead.
Well, I just thought I'd comment that I think the CCI can reasonably concern itself with anything having to do with the comprehensive plan, which is pretty broad. And that might take in, that may be how other cities have reasoned that their CCIs should be involved with looking at transportation, because the transportation plan is under the comprehensive plan, and looking at parks, and because the parks plan is under it. So, That I'll just throw that out there, that may be the way that they've justified expanding the realm of what the CCI considers. And in recent times, we've just looked at issues that for outreach and education and land use process, and that was based on city council direction. So.
I talked to Russ Axelrod about this a little bit, and he said that when he was on CCI, they were working on going towards more of this kind of stuff, and they were revamping a bunch of stuff, but it just never got to council. He did give me that history. I think it was like in 2018 when they were working on that, so it was kind of before my time. So it kind of sounds like this is kind of the direction that CCI has been wanting to go for years, but just have never had. I'll read a couple of these things, like Oregon City CCI, or they call it the CIC. Says they're limited to, include but not limited to the following. And they said, encourage public participation and knowledge of land use in Oregon City. Encourage public participation in other government activities as they impact neighborhood programs. Provide information to the city commission and the public. Assist with requests from the city commission. Troutdale says, they call it the CAC, will report recommendations on land use to the planning commission, perform any duties or functions assigned by city council. In this regard, the CAC operates to provide public policy guidance to the council on matters of public interest and to act as a liaison between neighborhoods and interest groups and the city's elected and appointed officials.
And Shannon, I don't know, Terry Cummings does have her hand up. I don't know if you want to.
Oh, I don't see her on here. I didn't even see that she joined.
Yeah. And
Terry. we didn't see you earlier when there was public comments, but you can go ahead, Terry.
No, thank you. I apologize for missing the public comments. Portion 5:30 came a little quicker than I did, and so thank you for your flexibility with that. And I also apologize for missing some of your discussion on this, but it sounded like you were looking into or wondering where the current CCI where that came from and so forth, and I was around during that time when they were basically trying to, the intent was basically to try to dial back some of the changes that were made with their so-called red tape code changes that kind of, you know, one way of saying it was to streamline things, but on the other hand, involved citizens felt like it was cutting citizens out of the process, cutting the citizens' right to know what was going on, when it was going on, and just basically access to information and the ability to be involved in processes. And so a lot of work, a great deal of work was done on undoing some of those changes that a prior council had voted in, you know, the red tape code changes. And then as far as it being land use only, I think I agree with, you know, what Gary said that it's really about citizen access to information, that it be done in a equitable way, that where you have equal access to people, for people to have information in an equitable manner, in a timely manner, so that they can have a reasonable opportunity to be adequately informed about what's going on and participate in matters that might be of interest to them. And, you know, not find out about things at the last moment, so that the citizen involvement process would provide an effective way of people participating in their government, and also for the people that are the decision makers to have a meaningful opportunity to hear people and what their input is. And so this is about everything, really. It's about whether the budgetary process seems transparent enough. Of course, all of the master plans that we have, the parks plan, all of the master plans are part of our comprehensive plan. And when the city adopts one of those master plan adoption things are actually appealable to LUBA, Land Use Board of Appeals. And they go through the Planning Commission before they go to the City Council. So part of that is why I wrote this letter recently about just asking, why did Willamette Falls Drive concept plan go through a public process to be adopted as an addendum to the transportation plan and not the 10th Street corridor? It doesn't make sense to me. The 2016 transportation plan had a configuration for Willamette Falls Drive and for the 10th Street corridor and Highway 43 and so forth, you know, the whole entire city. The 2016 was a very major undertaking that involved neighborhoods and a lot of community outreach and so forth. And then, you know, when the Willamette Falls Drive concept plan was done, looking at that document, I mean, honestly, in my opinion, it looks a little haphazard because parts of it don't even mention the roundabout at Fields Bridge, and then it looks like it was kind of an afterthought, frankly. And then it's just a potential roundabout. So then that can give someone the expectation that there's going to be another public process to decide whether it's going to be a roundabout or a conventional cross-section type of intersection. And even the question of whether any kind of intersection belongs right there next to the bridge, there was never any real public outreach process to talk about the pros and cons or potential hazards of placing it there. So even the Willamette Falls Drive concept, the way that it was done this last year, was a head shaker for me. But then when I realized that actually was told that the public works director, Mr. Calvert, was just planning on putting something in front of the council to approve the contract for the 10th Street corridor work. That's completely skipping the process you went through for the Willamette Falls Drive concept plan. And so that's why I looked all that stuff up and sent a letter in. And did you guys get the letter?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I got the letter, Terry, and we'll I have it to discuss later in the agenda whether we want to put it on the agenda or not, because I think if we want to discuss it, we should put it on the agenda and then.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. So that's mainly it. You know, it's like for me, it would be a place where people can go when they say, when you have approval of the minutes on your agenda, will you please make a link to the minutes so I can read them? Because some boards and commissions do that and some don't. And the city council does it when they have the minutes that they're going to approve. But a lot of the
talking about our or just all of the seats, because I think ours did, right? Ours today did.
I'd have to look. I'm sorry. I'm not completely sure.
Because I clicked on the link. That's how I found them. So
good. And it was a link on your agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. So, but some don't. And some produce their minutes according to the council rules in a timely manner. And yet, not even the council does. You know, last meeting, council was approving some minutes from December. And then there's that CCI might weigh in on something like the council is talking about whether to not require that the minutes require the substance of the discussion. Well, what does Oregon attorney, what does the public meeting manual say about that? Well, it does list having the substance of the discussion in the written minutes. Do we want written minutes? That's another thing. Maybe CCI would like to weigh in on that. I have very strong opinions about that because I'm starting to lose my hearing. But these are the kinds of things that CCIs can have a kind of like a watchdog advisory role about, are we making sure that we're being transparent, that we're, you know, providing people the opportunity for a meaningful involvement in their city's government.
Yeah, and actually, and when I was one of those things I was going to bring up that are in our current bylaws, is it does say the word watchdog. So I do think there's some aspect of that I just, you know, when it was redone in 2018 or 2016, you know, they added that word watchdog in there. So I do think there was some intent for that mm-hmm. kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we're gonna, yeah, no problem. We're gonna get back on here. So Beaverton CCI says that really language that I think we should incorporate no matter what. It does say, implementing and evaluating a broad community involvement program that ensures opportunities for individuals, including communities of colors and traditionally disenfranchised communities, to be involved in all phases of the city's land use planning and civic decision-making process. I really like that language because it is inclusive and we need more inclusive language in our stuff. And it says to make recommendations to city council, city staff, and other city committees on practices and programs likely to ensure the continuous opportunity for exchange of ideas and information between the city government and Beaverton area residents, businesses, property owners, and in making recommendations, ensuring that our diverse community is considered and ensuring strategies are ensure broad participation. Really inclusive. So, I mean, I don't need to read everything, but you can see that all these other cities do have their CCIs working on more policy issues and not just. Forest Groves. And so it's just a matter of, you know, what what kind of language we want to have before we go to and offer them.
Is this something that we wanted to take care of today, or is this, we're just kind of thinking about stuff right now? And
yeah, I don't think we have an immediate meeting planned, so I guess we can probably work on some language and then adopt it, at another
because Shannon, the stuff that you're looking at, I wouldn't mind if you would send it maybe to the group so we can look at it. Yeah, just to review it. And then I wouldn't mind maybe looking around too, because I haven't looked at what other groups are doing, other CCI groups as well. Because you're concerned right now is our CCI group is limited to what we can do. And your concern is we need to make sure.
Yeah, it's just, I think we just need a clear direction from, we know we have to work on the land use stuff that's required by goal one. And so it's whether we don't, have the ability to take on other stuff unless staff we can't direct staff to take on other stuff unless council tells us that, it's part of our purview basically. So that's kind of why we need the clarification from council that, if we wanted to talk about the roundabouts, that council says it's okay for us to talk about a roundabout.
So I think those are implicitly covered because it's part of the planning process and it's part of the TSP. And the transportation plan is a master plan under the comprehensive plan. So I think those kind of issues where we should already have consensus or direction from city council to cover those as needed. I do like the fact that you found, I hadn't looked at the bylaws for a long time, but that the CCI is an independent body intended to function as a watchdog and advocate for citizen involvement. And so I think you're right, that does expand the possibilities for what CCI can do. And I think by doing that, we can also attract other people to the CCI who typically may not be interested just in land use.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. Mary had her hand up.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad that you guys are talking about this because, and Gary, thank you for clarifying that, because that's what I was going to ask is does council have to give explicit direction to review certain things, or is that already in your assigned agenda, mission statement?
Yeah, I think it's because it's a gray area, because it's not technically goal one, right? Which is, and technically our goal one is really about the communication plan and not necessarily, just general discussion of it. So if we're following goal one, it's all about the information that we're getting out and how we're getting the information out and making sure people are participating in the information and not actually digesting or talking about the information itself.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. I guess my concern is I don't want to be missing, sending something your way if it's supposed to be up to council to identify it. Does that make sense? I think we lost Darren. Yeah. Is Darren supposed to be on the call? It says Lynn. Okay. Okay. That was what confused
He's
me.
Lynn today.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. You missed that part of the meeting where
I did. Sorry about that. Today. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think CCI has already the role of doing anything council specifically direct. So if it's like creating a working group, like we've done that, right? And that's a question account. So you could always do things like that. It's more kind of our internal agenda planning. Should we be able to throw some of this stuff on the agenda? And then what do we do with this information once we have a discussion? You know, and then we then taking it to council and saying, you know, council, we think this group is working on this, and we think that this actual project they're working on should have a more public, that's what I envision. So like I said, like the parks, right? So knowing they're working on the dog parks, or if this would have happened, you think about the pickleball courts, because that was a big controversy. So if like, you know, parks made that decision, but no one else knew about it unless you're listening to parks. And I don't know how many people are listening to parks meetings or giving public input at parks other than people directly affected.
Wow, that's an awesome example. I love that example.
Yeah. So if we, and we don't have to, you know, I don't want to add all this extra time, you know, for staff or something like that. But if we just have the minutes available of what the other groups are looking at, so maybe we have an item on our agenda that says, you know, the CAG is all they're working on, what they're working on for the month, and we see that in their minutes, and we're like, hey, wait a minute, we think the dog parks could be something that is really going to affect neighbors. They're going to have dark barking dogs and that kind of stuff. So we think this should have a more public process, and then we take that to council and say, hey, that they're working on this, we think this is a one that involves more public outreach. Like that, kind of what I envision.
So Shannon, I guess one other thing that I noticed in looking at the bylaws is that I don't remember the exact date, but there was a, at least as I understand, kind of a wholesale change from citizen, the use of the word citizen, to community throughout a lot of city documents and groups. And so it may be that we have to go through a resolution update to change the name from the Committee for Citizen Involvement to Community Involvement. I've seen things where it's referred as one and other things that refer to it the other way. So some consistency would be good. And that may also help with some of the other direction as a watchdog and advocate.
And the other thing I thought of too, with, I don't know if you guys were paying attention to the whole pool permit, the swimming pool lesson that just happened. Sure, Gary and Maria. So when I went to go do my testimony for that, I noticed that her appeal basically had no code in it. She just appealed and just appealed to emotions. And that was one of those things where like, well, I don't think we have any kind of publication or something that tells her what she needed to do. So I see CCI could come up with some, you know, flyer or something like that, that when they get those, you know, it says, you know, this is what you need to do to appeal, but it doesn't really tell them what the whole process is. So on that letter that they get, like, if you want to appeal this decision, it can give them a link to, here's a flyer for how you do it and lay out for them, you know, this is what you need to do. You need to make sure you're, you know, whatever you're appealing is based on code and cite the code and where, you know, because there was just, she didn't know any better and she got in there and didn't talk about any code. Even her attorney barely talked about code because he wasn't a land use attorney. Right. So, you know, it's just, I know when I went through the LUBA process, this 1,000 Friends of Oregon put out this very, very detailed document on everything you needed to do for the LUBA. And, you know, each part of your testimony had to have this. And I thought that was really helpful. So I thought that was something that CCI could be doing, because, you know, it's one of those things that, like, I don't want to say we should just be trying to make it easier for them. I know it's kind of a weird thing for staff, because it's like a saying here where let's teach people how to argue with staff, but it's more like making them aware of what their rights are and what they need to do, you know, if they have issues. Yeah, Mary.
Can I just make one quick comment? That would be super helpful. I think that would be so constructive. Although I see what you're saying about that point about teaching people how to argue with staff, but that wouldn't be the point of it. It's just trying to help people follow a basic formula of, like you're saying. I mean, it's not, once they know, it's not that hard, because here's what you need to be addressing. But if they don't know this, then it'll just be a waste of time. I mean, it was a kind of a waste of her time. I felt bad.
Yeah. Okay.
I agree. And this goes back to the July 2018 report that CCI submitted to council on land use process. And among the recommendations, at least for CCI for the future, was to come up with those sort of outreach and educational pamphlets, brochures, just so the public knows what to expect and what to do. I mean, there is a public testimony trifold that's out there, and it's available at City Hall. So people who are giving testimony at council or at the Planning Commission know what to do and what to expect. And I think those are helpful, but I agree there is a ways to go to provide better education for those who are trying to participate in the system.
Yeah, because I mean, and this one is not, you know, one that can go to LUBA, but if something is to go to LUBA, they have to testify in order to go to LUBA, they have to have standing. And so a lot of people don't know that they even need that standing in order to, you know, appeal to a higher body. So. Yeah, Ed.
I was going to mention standing, because I think even just defining what that is for people is a great, you know, is necessary, because some people don't understand what that means. I also went back. I thought we used to say when we sent out a notice of a decision, whether it's a planning commission decision or a planning manager decision, that it stated that if you appeal it, you need to have grounds in the CDC. Well, we don't really say that or state, you know, which part of the CDC you think is specific to your appeal. We don't really say that. We just say the appeal application may state the grounds for appeal. And I guess when you get to the meeting at the appeal, they do then say, I think usually, or they used to anyway, that you need to state your specifics as far as what part of the CDC your appeal is based on. But yeah, I think definitely having that included in a document that people can review would be very helpful, because you're right, it's a critical part of the appeal process.
Yeah, go ahead, Darren.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point, Ed. And so the council in around 2018, when they changed the appeal process back to de novo, they eliminated the requirement to address the specific criteria that you're appealing upon, and just left it as that general statement of you may identify. So I think the last 4 appeals we've had, they didn't identify any criteria, which puts them at a disadvantage, puts staff at a disadvantage, and specifically city council at a huge disadvantage, because they're going into a meeting not even knowing what they're going to argue. So, I mean, my recommendation would be to add that language back into, you can still be de novo, but add that language back in of what code criteria are you actually appealing this on? If it's not a criteria, then don't waste your time and effort. So anyhow, that's a very good point, Ed. Thanks.
I would second that or third it. I think it's a huge, a huge issue because people have come back. I mean, I've seen it happen several times now, and they don't have an appeal based in the code or a substantive code that they can actually appeal to. So we should do that.
All right. Well, good stuff here. I will send what I have to you guys, and you know, we can look it over and see, you know, what parts of other places that you kind of like. Like I said, I think adding inclusive language, if we're going to change stuff, you definitely add some inclusive language. That should be important. You know, I'm not sure we have big pockets of population that are disenfranchised like some other cities, but it's always important to make sure, because we don't know. They could be out there and we just don't know because we don't hear from them. So yeah, and a lot of this stuff, I think one of the things I was reading, that disenfranchised part of it actually, is that a lot of places require you to have property ownership to testify, which I thought was very, very strange. I don't think we have anything like that. You just have to be live, right? So yeah, I saw some of the stuff about disenfranchised populations, and I was like, if you live in an apartment, you can't give testimony. I thought that was bad. So I'm glad that we don't have anything like that, and then we don't have to worry about it. Some of the guides to planning, I saw that, and I don't have that in. So anything else on that, or we get to table it to have more discussion next?
So just to clarify, then you'll be sending out some information, and are we trying to put together a draft update to this resolution 2020-04? Is that our ultimate goal here?
I don't know if we need it, because I feel like the bylaws are vague, but maybe more just for presentation to council, and then maybe council can decide if they think our bylaws need updating. It to be a project we work on. Just for what we kind of present, just have a clear focus plan to present to council on what we want to do, what we want to be able to work on.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Agenda 6, how to get people more involved in planning.
Okay. I have a question. The issue that we were speaking to before about adding criteria that needs to be for the appealing process, are we going to be addressing that?
No, I just thought of that would be some projects that we could work on in the future.
Okay.
Like if our focus is not just you know, how to the engagement plan itself and how to get people involved, and more creating materials to help people once they have an issue, then we can kind of put that on the docket at some point. I think we have a lot of work to work on, so it might not be an immediate thing, but it just gives us the ability to work on that kind of stuff. Okay, Darren, if you want to take that 6.
All right, thanks. Are we on the discussion about how to get more people involved in planning projects?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. So I just wanted to put this on here. So you've hit on many of the different subjects around land use planning. But we do have a couple of very large community-wide land use planning projects that will be coming up. So House Bill 2001 was an example of one that we're working on right now, which last summer, Betty had put together that engagement plan. The CCI spent a couple of meetings reviewing it. And then the intent will be to report back to the CCI once we're done with it to report in on what we accomplished, what we didn't accomplish, and then how many people participated. And then that would be the feedback to the CCI. So moving forward, helping to tailor outreach mechanisms and other tools and communication tools to utilize to get the word out, get more involvement in these projects. So the two projects I'm specifically speaking about would be the Westland Waterfront project. It's sort of been on hiatus during the pandemic. We now, the council has committed funding to the project so we can get a consultant team on board. We hope to get that again going, fired up again in summer, early fall. So again, that will be another engagement process that we want the CCI to weigh in on. And then Highway 43, looking at the zoning and the transportation connections along Highway 43. Will be another big project that again council has dedicated funding to, so we can get some consultant help on. So that's just wanted to make you aware of those projects and then start thinking about mechanisms to get folks involved. So I've been in the planning world for 22 years now or something. So you know, pre-pandemic, the traditional planning model was you set up a couple of open houses, people attend if they can, they give you their feedback, you compile it together, put it into a report, and it gets moved on through the process. But Shannon and I spoke, I believe last week it was, you know, there's a lot of segments of the community that maybe can't attend an open house from 7:30 to 8:30 at night or 6:30 to 9:30, you know, because they have young children and youth sports, or they need to get their homework done and get them to bed. And you know, there's people that work at night. So coming up with thinking of different ways to involve the community without necessarily having to utilize those traditional tools that we used to use. So I think we've all seen that these virtual meetings are pretty fantastic. You can just hop on while you're still at home and participate. There's other tools, you know, of course, social media is huge now. So getting a feedback word out and feedback through social media, go on down the line, but, something I just wanted to, you know, bring to the CCI and, you know, not necessarily get a full scale discussion going on right now, but, you know, start thinking in that manner. You also, someone had made the comment earlier about, you know, getting folks on the CCI that aren't necessarily just interested in land use. So my view of the CCI has always been, you don't really need to know anything about planning or land use. What you need to know is how to communicate with the community and what communication tools are out there. And that's the value that you would bring to the CCI of who are we missing? How do we reach them? You know, like previous community I worked in, we did a lot of work with the school district, right? We would every big project, we would go to the middle school, we'd go to the high school, we'd present, we would go to where they were at to get their feedback, because you know, we felt that, you know, 20 years from now they're going to want to move back to the community, so they should have a say in what it's going to look like. And so that was a huge component of our outreach efforts in that community. There was also a huge English as a second language community there, so we found mechanisms through churches to get communications in their native their native language, so we could try to get those folks involved. And again, a lot of times they weren't comfortable with coming to an open house where they, you know, they struggled to communicate in English. So a lot of different things to think about moving forward. So I'll leave it at that. And if you want to discuss amongst yourselves, I'd be happy to participate.
Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, Darren, I'm glad to hear you say that. I think, you know, you've got some great ideas. I'm curious about the outreach to the schools. So you were communicating to the students or to the parents?
We would coordinate with the administration and the schools, and then would get set up to go to like government classes or whatever similar class where they had an interest in what we were working on. So for instance, we went through an entire urban forestry strategic plan and then code revisions in this community, and the youth, at that point in time, you know, the environmental movement was pretty strong. It still is. So we went and spoke to several different classes in the high school and the middle school about what they were seeing. And they all were seeing the same thing, development happening, trees being cut down, you know, the trees that they used to play in when they were, you know, 5-6 years ago. So it was a good mechanism. Got a look at a lot of good feedback, and the city council and that community took the youth's feedback very seriously. So.
Yeah, I think that's a great proposal. And of course, the students would take it home to their parents as well, you know, so I think it's a great way to reach out to people. So yeah, I would definitely encourage that we look into trying to promote that in the future, because as far as I know, we're not really doing that right now, right?
Yeah, and we do also have the Youth Advisory Council too, that we can, I know in the waterfront project early on, we went to the Youth Advisory Council a couple of times to brief them on what we were doing and try to get them to help us get the word out to their peers in the schools.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Yeah, I think it's great ideas to think about. These are those type of things I think we struggle with our website. We're very limited by our website. I know that on EDC, we have this issue, and I listen to the Arts Council, they kind of have this issue where it would be nice if each group kind of had their own website, and not just a page that looks like a government page, but like a user-friendly website that people could access information from. I know we're limited, but that would be something I would like to see in the future where we have. I think they did, actually Lance did it for the Willamette Falls Drive project, where it was a separate website URL and everything that it went to, and it was a lot more user friendly so that they could see the plans and stuff instead of just, you know, right now it's a PDF link that you have to link and look at. But I think if we could get more those type of things for those projects, that would be a lot easier to push on social media and then have someone go to them and actually be able to really look at the plans.
Yeah, that's a great point, Shannon. And that's I'm imagining that's something we'll work out through the contract with the consulting team to create us an individual website that they host that's a little more dynamic than the abilities of our current website.
All right.
Gary
has a question.
Oh,
go ahead, Gary.
So just, I guess, to emphasize what you've all said, I would emphasize that we need a lot of website work. I mean, even with all the amount of hours that I spend on the website, and I know all of you do as well, the search function is awful. I go out, outside the website and then do a search to try and find it from outside to, and then go back in to find documents, because it just doesn't work well. So at some point, not to throw this at council, but it would be great if there was a budget item to develop a new, either a new or repair the current website. And I think it's such a major thing that it may just have to start over from ground zero. But in the course of that, I don't know how the archives are maintained and how those come back into it. Neither here nor there, I guess, but I think that's huge for reaching out to the community and getting further involvement, because I think anyone who goes into the website just casually is bound to get lost and frustrated. So I think that's good. I would also suggest that the planning actually needs more people. And I'm not saying that because I'm on the planning commission, but I've watched enough of what the planning group does that there just aren't enough bodies. And so that's a budget issue that comes into play. So I think that would be helpful as well with public outreach and having, because if we try and do all these outreach issues, and I think the things that Darren just brought up, going to the schools or the youth advisory council, those all take time. And especially when a number of those meetings, at least for outreach, are outside regular business hours for City Hall. And so staff gets stretched. And it's just understandable that you have to accommodate that somehow. And I'm not even sure how staff have been doing it for the past 7 years that I've been involved. So anyway, those are my comments, but those are highly budget related issues.
Mary?
Does, forgive me if I should know the answer to this question, but does CCI come and meet with council ever, like come to a council meeting?
No.
All of the things that we've been talking about are so important to me, and I feel like, especially what you're just talking about, like the website and having enough planning staff and, you know, budgetary items. I just feel like, and some of these exciting things you're talking about, like, you know, having youth involved, and I just feel like we should do like a joint meeting with, does that appeal to anyone?
Yeah. We've talked about it before.
We've been trying for a while to get a joint mm-hmm. meeting.
Well, how do I need to ask to have it put on the agenda? How does this happen?
So yeah, Councillor Baumgartner, I'm working with the city manager's office to identify, I believe they've identified a meeting in June. So I will get that confirmed. And then once I know that that's confirmed, I'll let the CCI know.
Great.
But yeah, it wouldn't hurt to have you light a fire underneath.
Okay, I'm good at that.
And going back to when the CCI worked on the land use planning process, we had several councillors at the time. I mean, I can think of four people who were on the council who came through and were working on that whole process, involved in some fashion at some point. And so there was more involvement from council at that time. And then we haven't had a project as large since that time. So it's all been done through the liaison, I think.
Hmm. Well, hit me up anytime.
So
I'm a volunteer.
Used to be two members of council, right, on CCI?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, I think Bill is officially. But anyway, I'm just send me a message anytime and I'll rope somebody else in too.
So this is Darren. I just looked on the council tentative agenda and they've got it tentatively set for the May 16th work session for a joint meeting with the CCI. So I will confirm that and get back to the group.
Okay, so if it's going to be May, then we should probably make sure we talk about in the next meeting for sure, you know, everything we want to talk to council about.
Okay.
So
I have another idea. Sorry to interrupt you, but I just thought of something really quick. What would it be like to invite a couple of youth advisory members to come to that meeting and just kind of soak up the atmosphere and we, you know, if we have some suggestions or get their input about doing some joint ventures with them, having them involved. There's some pretty engaged youth on that.
I just hired a person to work for me that used to be on the Youth Advisory Council. I told her that gave her a leg up in the interview.
Yeah. Yeah, they're amazing. They are some leaders on there.
Okay, so future CCI meeting format. So now that we can be in person, do we want to be in person or do we want to keep meeting virtually? As we talked about, virtual is easy and you don't have to leave your house, but I know people like to see people in person too. So I'm leaving it up to you guys.
Can we do a blended meeting? Or is that too hard?
Yes, we can do what we're calling a hybrid meeting. So we could meet in person, have the WebEx streaming in the conference room, and people can participate from either. So yeah, the options are all options are open. And that's what Councilor Baumgarten, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what council did last night, right?
Yes, it is. And I will just say for the record that having been present at several of these hybrid meetings, there is a little bit lost with, I think, the people who aren't physically there. I almost worry like sometimes they can't hear and we can't hear them. And it's just, but of course, that said, it is certainly a handy option if someone needs that.
And
yeah, I agree with Mary. I think that I would promote a hybrid meeting. I think it does give people, not necessarily CCI members, but members of the public who want to speak, the option to attend in person, but some can't and or don't want to for whatever reason. And I think that having the ability to join virtually would be, you know, part of the CCI's mission, right, is to promote involvement. And that's just another way of allowing that to happen. So I would definitely push for, if we do return to having an in-person piece, that we continue to maintain the virtual part as well.
Okay, so sounds like hybrid is what everyone prefers.
Shannon, Terry Cummings has a hand raised if we're taking public comment.
Terry, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, thank you. One comment I have about this is, again, somebody who's I have not been willing to get the hearing aids yet, but I'm eligible. it does get hard to It's easier for me to see what somebody's saying if I can see their face. And I also think it's more personable. So right now, I can see you, but you can't see me. And I think it would help to be able to, I think if I was on in your position, I'd want to be able to see who's talking. So this function that we have right now where attendees don't have their videos on is I think that could that leaves room for improvement. I'd rather see their participants when people come into a room and talk, when they testify, they talk in person, you can see them and the camera zooms in on their face and you can watch them talk. I think that it would be nice to get back to that. Yeah.
So I think sounds like hybrid is the way to go. So that's what we will do.
Thank you.
I agree, though. I agree that I don't like when you can't see the people. I'm on my phone, so I can't see everybody, and that's why I can't see your hand because it's on the next screen over. So when there's a lot of people on here, I can't. Everything.
Yeah,
I don't have a webcam on my regular computer.
And I wanted to thank you also for your thoughts about providing some community education about the land use process. I think we actually have some pamphlets at City Hall for that, but I don't think it hurts to, different cities have done that, have had information like that available. It'd be nice to have somebody in an ombudsman type of role, maybe even a volunteer position, to kind of help people understand, what the process is. Anyway, I know Gresham did. Isn't that right, Vicki?
Oh my gosh, it's been so many years ago, but I think we did a lot of citizen involvement with planning, land use planning.
Yeah, because I remember years ago seeing something out of the city of Gresham where they were actually having kind of like little classes for people to understand.
Oh, we did. Yep, that was part of the citizen involvement committee. We did have classes. I attended them.
Yeah, that was kind of neat. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Interesting idea too. I know, sustainability board has been putting on all these kind of cool classes too. So that would be a way to at least get people maybe interested. Knowing how the city works.
Oh no, Shannon.
I lost. Sorry, my husband sent me a text, and so it over my screen.
It overloaded.
Announcements. So did everybody get that email that Terry sent?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So I think what the process we should do for these emails is, discuss whether we want them to be an agenda item, like I was mentioning earlier, so that we can make sure that it's posted and if people know that in advance that that's what we're going to be talking about. So I guess this is where, I'll leave it up to the group. I don't know what power we have to do anything about it. I don't know what the level of discussion will be, but maybe it's just understanding better what triggers involvement. Because I had the neighborhood association at the food cart hearing kind of made a point, had a question of why the food cart application didn't go to the neighborhood association. So maybe it's just kind of a better understanding of what triggers going to neighborhood association, what level of project triggers going to the neighborhood association, what level project triggers going to planning commission, and having that discussion so we can understand the process better. Go ahead, Barry.
So two things along the line that you were just talking about. I was actually surprised that the neighborhood association wasn't made aware and that there wasn't a presentation, but I understand that the applicants are going to the neighborhood association in April. But the reason I think I just assumed because it was coming to the planning commission and it had been to the HRB, but that it had also gone to the neighborhood association, but it was class one design review, which doesn't necessarily require that because it can usually be a planning manager decision, which doesn't require the NA to participate. So I think that's the only explanation I've got for that. But it sounds like they've worked it all out, at least in the course of getting together with the neighborhood association. Stepping back, I'm losing my train of thought. Oh, I'll let it go.
Terry's.
Oh, I know what it was. Terry's. I'm just curious. I mean, I was on the original CC list for that, and I had just assumed that there would be an email to the general population of the CCI, and because I didn't get a second copy or a third copy for the Planning Commission either, and so I was just wondering, did yours come out individually, or was everyone on the CCI?
I just went to the website. I went to citizen involvement website, and the letter's right there for the agenda for today. There's the agenda posted, and it's under supporting documents, the Terry Cumming letter. I didn't get an email or anything. That's how I found it. I just found it today.
Oh, okay. Because I was downloading stuff from the agenda and for the meeting today. So I didn't go to I assumed the agenda was complete. I didn't realize that Terry's email was linked there. So I'll do that in the future.
Well, I did that on accident because I couldn't find the agenda. And so I went to I usually don't go to the website. So I went to the website and saw that.
Okay.
Yeah, just to clarify the email that I sent last Friday with the agenda, I had a link to the agenda and the letter.
Okay.
The email. I didn't attach the letter to the email. I just linked it, but I could attach letters in the future if you want.
Okay. So, I was just curious.
Shannon, can you review what we need to prep for our next meeting? We need to come up with ideas of what we want to speak to the council with for our April meeting.
Yeah. So kind of the conversation we had earlier about, you know, what CCI's roles and responsibilities kind of encompass, and then stuff like you know, adding engagement of schools that we talked about, and I don't know. I'll review. again and write my notes. So just work on that kind of stuff. So we have, you know, what we're going to present to them.
Okay.
Yeah, Ed.
So I just, on another topic, I just wanted to bring up that this is our first meeting this year, as we mentioned earlier, and I was disappointed that the January and February meetings were canceled. At each meeting of the neighborhood presidents, which we had earlier this month, I'm asked to summarize what's going on with CCI. They're very interested in the CCI and what projects we're undertaking or what we're working on. And I got some comments about, well, why isn't CCI meeting? You know, what's going on? And I think, you know, I would just like to say that I think going forward, I'd like to have a meeting every month, whether or not we have a specific agenda item, a big topic to discuss, at least we should convene a meeting, provide the opportunity for public comment, and then we can close the meeting. I mean, if there's no public comment, then that's fine. But I think we should give our citizens a chance to come to CCI and provide public comment at least once a month. So I guess I'd just like to suggest that going forward, even if there's no big topic to discuss, that we at least hold a meeting and have a session, an opportunity for public comment. Just my thoughts.
The first meeting of the month was this day we had the CAG training. So we just didn't have the ability to do it with staffing and WebEx and everything. And because we were supposed to be on that training. And then the meeting last month is because we had Betty leave. So Darren had to be our staff liaison, but Darren was giving a presentation at a neighborhood association meeting or something like that, right, Darren? And that's why we had no staff basically to do the meeting. So it wasn't because there was a lack of agenda items, it was those two issues. And it was unfortunate, and I didn't want to have to cancel them either, but we just didn't.
Yeah, well, there's always the possibility we could, you know, try for another date, you know, if we have a conflict like that too, you know. So anyway, I just like to, well, I stated my 2 cents, so that's all I need to say.
So I didn't hear any kind of discussion on whether we wanted to put discussion on this, Terry's letter on the agenda or not. Is it just you want to discuss or not? Got other stuff?
Oh, put it on the agenda for next time.
Yeah, or maybe, like I said, maybe it's just a discussion on what things trigger. I think that would be an important discussion, as understanding what triggers what kind of process.
So put it on, so talk about it next meeting.
Yeah, if you could just give us a quick rundown, Darren, of, you know, what level of a project, especially if these seem to be engineering related. So what would trigger a more public process on that?
Yeah, that, well, I can be prepared to discuss that, but I'll go back to the, you know, the role of the CCI is community involvement, not the process that triggers when community involvement takes place, right? So if it would have been a project triggering a TSP amendment, then we would come to the CCI and say, kind of outreach, what should we do? Should we reach out to the school? What, you know, the discussion we just had. But, you know, again, I know we all don't agree on that. So I think meeting with the council, getting clear direction from them will resolve a lot of these issues moving forward, as far as, you know, what's on the agenda, what level of effort staff is expected to bring to the table for these agenda items that are clearly related directly to planning and land use projects that we're tasked with undertaking and taking through the process. So again, I think clarity from council will help. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
we can table it.
How about taking some of the issues that are in this letter, and that would be added to our list to bring to council?
Yeah, we can do that. Okay, so anybody else have anything else they wanted to add? Erin, do you have anything else?
I think Terry's hand is up.
Oh, well, we're gonna, Terry, it's kind of public comments over at this point, so I'm just gonna, kind of getting towards the end of the meeting here, so I'm just kind of trying to wrap up time wise. Is that okay?
I just wanted to warn you that the thing I'm trying to warn you about in that letter is that council actually has this on their agenda before you're going to meet again. tentatively. And I just you can see I've gone to the trouble of reaching out to DLCD, and I've looked up the code and, you know, the state ordinances on this. I've been talking about this, it just, I'd like to not have to appeal this to Luba, you know. This is about leaving people out of the process. As a city councilor, when we had the 2018 GO bond, we did approve a contract to work on designing the Salamo and 10th Street area. The understanding was going to be that there was going to be a public process for that, that the neighborhoods would be involved and so forth, like they have, you know, just like with the Willamette Falls Drive concept. And that didn't happen. And now, you know, council is going to be scheduled to approve a contract where this, the public involvement process was completely skipped. That bothers me because I was on the council and people were promised that there'd be a public process, you know.
Yeah, like I said, that's why I was just curious what that triggers the stuff, because I do think there's stuff that, you know, we're here and you know, we could change the process in the future, but if the process is the process that we have now, you know, those are the things we could address in the future. I don't know if we have anything we can do, you know, before council hears this.
I just don't understand what difference there could be between the 10th Street corridor and the Willamette Falls Drive. These are both things that were planned out in 2016 transportation plan. Why not? You know, you're changing, you're making changes to the concept plan, the one that was adopted, the adopted plan. And ODOT even commented on that in the email search that
I did. Okay, Carrie, we gotta wrap up our meeting here. So.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Darren, did you have anything to add so we can get out here on time?
No, nothing important to the role of the CCI at this time, so. Let you get on your way.
Okay, Gary.
So just one final thing. I just downloaded the Terry's letter that's posted on the website, and it doesn't include all of the DLCD information that was in her email that was sent out to last Thursday to city staff and council. So. It's missing that reference material. So anyway, that's all.
So you want it to be posted to the to our agenda then? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm just saying there's more information that she just referenced verbally, but it's not included in the file that's available to look at for today's meeting.
Okay.
So sounds like I need to be defensive here. In my defense, I received an email on Monday, March the 14th from Ms. Cummings saying, please add this letter to community comments at PC and CCI's next meeting.
Okay.
You can go to contact me if you have any questions or concerns. Thank you, Terry Cummings, West Lynn, and the letter was attached. I forward the attached letter as requested. Thank you.
Right, thanks.
Yeah, so it must have been the one she CC'd us on, Gary, because I have the more information too, but she must have not sent that to CCI directly, and she sent it to us individually, because this one doesn't have CCI. The one I have, I'm looking at, has all that stuff you're talking about, but this came directly from her, so not through CCI. So that's the reasoning. Okay. So with that, knowing that it's coming up on council's agenda, I would just say if any of us as individuals have opinions on Terry's testimony, we could always give testimony to council as individuals on that topic. All right, so with that, I will say goodbye until next time and end the meeting at 7:02.